Go down? Okay. Send the kids down there without any workers. That could be an issue. They'll figure it out. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Lord, guide and direct everything that is said and done upstairs, everything that is said and done downstairs. I thank you for your presence in this place. God, you're meeting us here. You're meeting us in our lives, working in our hearts, doing exactly what it is we need. And I thank you that you are powerful and that you are awesome and that you demonstrate that power and that awesomeness in our lives. Lord, these testimonies are testimonies of your love for us. You care, and you move, and you act, and we are so blessed by you and so grateful. So we give you thanks today, and I pray now, Holy Spirit, that you'll speak this message to our hearts, and God, we'll leave this place full of joy. In Jesus' name, amen. Years ago, I was asked to speak, actually, is Terry your cousin, Terry Aiken? Sarah's cousin Terry does, I think he still does a little TV show on cable channel 12. And he has, it's a music thing. There's a music videos playing all the time. But he always has somebody come and speak. And I was really young in the Lord, and I didn't know a whole lot. And he asked me to come and speak on his little TV show. And let me tell you something, it's hard. When you're just in a little room and a camera, it's hard to speak, you know. For me, it was anyway. I don't know how those preachers do it all the time, but for me, I'd rather have the crowd in front of me, you know, have people listening. But and I spoke on joy, and I remember it was so hard to speak to a camera that I was speaking a message on joy, and it didn't look like I had any. It was really tough. And then I watched it, and then somebody I knew said, "Oh, I saw you on TV." I'm like, "Oh man, that was like terrible." Well, today I want to talk about joy again. Joy in the sense of being a fruit of the Spirit, Galatians chapter 5. And I hope you're not getting bored with this series. I know that it's been a long one, and I promise next week, well, I can't promise because God always changes things. You know, next week should be the last one, and I saved long-suffering for the end for a reason. We're going to make you suffer another week. But it's been good. I've been enjoying this series. I hope that you have been too. You know, just talking about the individual elements of the fruit of the Spirit in our lives. And last week we talked a little bit about how all of these things, you know, it says the fruit of the Spirit, how it's not, fruit is a word that there's no S on the end of it. And so all of it, we get all of it. All of it at once. And how it raises the question in my heart, you know, if I'm missing one, do I have any of it? And so I want to make sure that I understand each and every element of the fruit of the Spirit and make sure that it's active in my life. Make sure that I'm walking so close to Jesus that His love and His peace and His joy and long-suffering, kindness and goodness and faithfulness, gentleness and self-control, all these things are evident in my life. Well, today I want to talk about joy. Fruit of the Spirit is love, joy. I mean, you know that not everybody has joy every day. Not everybody has joy every minute of every day. Some people don't have any joy all week long. Some people may be lacking joy for maybe weeks or months or years. And if you think about that, how sad that is. Well, after today, hopefully we'll have a little bit of an understanding of what joy is so that we can experience joy each and every day, each and every minute of every day. I believe that's God's will for us. I believe that when the Holy Spirit moves in our life and works in our life, that these fruits of the Spirit would be evident in our life, not just for a fleeting moment, not just for a Sunday morning when we're having an awesome worship time, but each and every day. How many would just love to be, you know, somebody wrote it this week, ignorance is bliss. And You know, we the word bliss. Wouldn't it be joyful if we were just living in a state of just bliss? What is bliss? I don't even know what the word means. Bliss, it sounds like it's good. But I think that living a life of joy would be bliss. Before we get into it, I want to look at a couple of things about the word joy. And I've been noticing something. When you look up definitions of words in the Bible, many times the word changes from the Old Testament to the New Testament. It's in our Bibles we read the same word, joy, in the Old Testament and the New Testament, just like any of these other words, love, peace, you know, kindness, all these things. When you read them in your Bible, if you look into the original text, and I'm not big into Greek and Hebrew and all that, you know, I could share you all the words and all that. I know guys that get off on doing that stuff, and I can't pronounce them anyway, and whatever. But I know this, there are different words, you know, for the word joy, there are different words that they use to express joy. Well, in the Old Testament, most, and this is just a really quick abbreviation because there's a lot of different definitions for the word that was used for joy in the Old Testament. And most times it was in this regard, exaltation or rejoicing, to shout, to raise a sound, to cry out, to give a blast, give a blast. Ringing cry, proclamation, and praise. You know, it's kind of in those things. In other words, you know, God did something, and so it caused joy, and so they would praise him. They would shout. And most times in the Old Testament, that's what you would see. And so, but then in the New Testament, there was a change. And, you know, the thing that I was going to mention about that, the change in words. It's really interesting to me anyway. I don't know if you think about things like this much, but it intrigues me the idea that how many things changed at the cross and how God redeemed not only our souls, but he redeemed even language, even word, even the spoken word. A lot of things changed at the cross. You know, sin did not change at the cross, but how it's dealt with changed. In many words, you know, that you would read in the Old Testament changed their meaning a little bit into the New Testament. And in the New Testament, the word joy means the joy received from you, the joy, the cause or the occasion of joy, but of persons who are one's joy. And the point that I want to make about, you know, distinguishing between the word joy in the Old Testament and the word joy in the New Testament is just simply this. Old Testament joy was more about what God did, and New Testament joy is more about who God is. You see, there's a difference. And I want to just, and I'll mention this maybe a few times today, the idea that, you know what, if our joy is wrapped up into what? Into things, many times it's going to be crushed. But if our joy is wrapped up in a who, which is Jesus, then we can never lose that joy. You understand that? And I want to talk about the source of joy. You know, looking at all the fruits of the Spirit, we can see that it's not about the things or the circumstances, but it's about how we relate to God and how we relate to others. You know, let me go back real quick to the fruits of the Spirit here. We have, I'm sorry, I didn't make it big. You talk about love, you talk about joy and peace and long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Most of those words, it's not about the stuff that we have in life. It's not about worldly things. It's really about relationships. It's about how we deal with one another, how we deal with God, how we deal with ourselves. In the context of that, joy is about a who, not a what. And so if you're lacking joy today, then I want you to look in your heart and really understand, well, what's my source of joy? What am I looking for joy? What am I leaning on for joy? Our source of joy should never be about what's or the things of the earth, but the who that is in our lives, and that being Jesus. And you know, as I was preparing this message, I'm telling you, I'm bursting. I am just, the more I think about it, the more, you know, I just focus on Him. You know, and don't think I don't have stuff going on in my life. Believe me, I got stuff going on in my life. Anybody that really knows me knows I got stuff going on in my life. But I got joy. You know why I got joy? Because I got Jesus. And you know, when you really grab a hold of that, it doesn't matter. It does not matter what's going on in life. There is joy. And so if Jesus is the source of our joy, then we should never be without it. We should never be without it. The next time, you know, you start feeling down and you start, you know, losing any sense of joy, take a moment and go to that secret place that we sang about a few moments ago. And seek that one that we just talked about, who is so awesome, who is so powerful, who does so many things in our lives, who loves us more than anything else, who died for our sins and set us free. He gives us eternal life. Think about Him for a few moments. Is there anything on this earth so bad that it outweighs eternal life? Anything? No. And so we can always have joy if our source is Jesus. Let me show you some verses. John chapter 15, verse 9 through 12. Again, understanding that the word joy in the New Testament is about relationship. It's about who, not what. As the Father loved me, I also have loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you that, what? That my joy may remain in you and that your joy may be full. Now, there's two things he talks about there. And he says, this is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. So, again, what is joy based upon here? It's based upon relationship. It's based upon our relationship with God. Do you know why Jesus had joy in his life? Because he loved his Father. He was all about his Father. He was all about the Father's love. He was all about that relationship between the Son and the Father. It was all about God. And if we want to have his joy, guess what? And we want it to remain in us. You know, it's Jesus' desire that his joy would be in us, that his joy would remain in us. Well, what's the source of that joy? Him. Our love for him. You know, the devil will try all kinds of tricks, all kinds of this, all kinds of that, to try to steal that joy from you. All kinds of circumstances. Probably everyone sitting here today, you could think of something right now that's just awful. That's just, I can't, it's in my life and I don't like it. Are you going to let that steal your joy that you love Jesus? Or the joy of knowing that you have eternal life in him, that you have a love from him and a love for him that just goes beyond even whatever that thing is you just thought about. And so there's two things about this verse 11 there that it talks about joy. Number one, that it remains in you, and number two, that it's full. It's full. You ever been around somebody that's joyful? I hope so. Joyful. Full of joy. And you know what? Sometimes we get around that person and I don't know why my mind goes where it goes. But sometimes we get around that person and you see that person is just so full of joy and your life is just so miserable and you just want to slap them, don't you? Uh-huh. Oh, got some? Want me to go over to your house? You got some people to slap over there? Amen. Just be real, church. Don't make me come over here and slap you. But oh, how wonderful it is to be that person. It's just so full of joy. You know what? Even if you come up and slap me, I'm going to be so full of joy. You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to offer the other cheek. Here, go ahead. Go right ahead. If it gives you a little joy to slap me, then we'll both be joyful, right? Remember that. What's that? Yeah, it'll be a joy for me to give it back. Look out. Oh, we're off track today. But you get some joy out of it. I mean, that's good. But what's it about? It's about Jesus. Stop allowing the things of the world. Stop allowing, you know, other people that are not God. Stop allowing circumstance to steal your joy. God wants it to remain, and He wants it to be full. And you know what? If we as believers, as we go out to shine the light of Jesus, don't you think that the world might be more apt to follow Him if they see His people are filled with joy? You know, I mentioned this before. Who would want to walk into a church and decide, hey, this is a place I want to be? If all the people in there are miserable, there's no joy. I got this in my life. I got that in my life. I am just so overwhelmed with the world. I'd run out of that church. I want to be a place where there's joy. I want to be a place where it's just beaming with joy. And you know, as we're out witnessing, I think that's the kind of people God wants us to share our joy of Him with others. Let me tell you about Jesus. Let me tell you what He's done for me. Let me tell you why there's a smile on my face and why I'm so willing to just, even though you're a perfect stranger, share Christ's love with you. You know, if you don't have joy in your life, you're not going to do that. And so I think it's important. Jesus wants us to have joy. He wants it to remain, and He wants it to be full. Why? Because we're His light. We're supposed to be His light. There should be no darkness where His light is. And if you don't have any joy, guess what? There's some darkness there. Look at your neighbor and say, I love serving Jesus. I love telling somebody about Jesus. And you want to look at your neighbor and say, do you know Jesus? Because if you don't, I'm going to tell you. I think most of it in here does. But you know, again, going back to what we talked about a while ago, that it's good to practice on one another. Hey, let me tell you about Jesus. Do you know how much He loves you? Do you know that He died for you? Do you know that He just, whatever's in your life, He'll just remove that sin. He'll remove that stain. He'll remove that scar. Whatever's going on in your life, if you got hurt and pain, He'll come in and He'll comfort you. He'll lift you up and He'll save you. He'll give you eternal life. How did He do that? On the cross. It's a good thing to share, you know. Practice on one another. Jordan, I've probably got you saved 10 times now. You're not the only one. I preach it to her. She's like, yeah. It's been a joy for me. Do you know that? To be a part of your life and to share Jesus with you. And that, I don't mean to pick you up, but you're like right there. So
pick her out,
right? Hallelujah. You know what, Jordan? I want to give you some joy. Who loves Jordan here? Raise your hand. Would you look around?
Yeah.
Excuse me?
I didn't
realize the church was asking her to glow. Yeah. There's a little glow going on. She got a little joy this morning. Thank you for loving her, church. I got joy today. Maybe that's why I'm picking on you. I'm just so happy. I don't know what it is. Hallelujah. I am. I am telling you what. I just... Okay, line up. I know y'all want to come and smack me. That's awesome. Praise the Lord. Let's look at some more. Wait, what have I got here? Jesus knew that we would struggle with the things in this world. And so he encouraged us to find our joy in him so that we would always have joy. Do you understand that? He wants it to remain. He wants it to be full. He wants us to find it in him. Because if we find it in him, it doesn't matter what's going on. We will always have joy. Look at John chapter 16. I know I've been putting a lot of verses on for you guys all the time, but every now and again I got to make you pull your own Bible out and look at it, all right? John chapter 16, verses 16 through 24. A little while and you will not see me. And again a little while and you will see me, because I go to the Father. You know, Jesus is talking about, he's talking to his disciples, and he's talking about, you know, his death is coming. And there's going to be a 3-day period in there where they're not going to see him. And so he's telling them beforehand. In verse 17, he says, then some of his disciples said among themselves, what is that he says to us? A little while and you will not see me, and again a little while and you will see me, and because I go to the Father. They said, therefore, what is this that he says, a little while? We do not know what he is saying. That's really funny. Verse 18. We do not know what he is saying. Anybody ever struggle with what God's telling you? Right? There are times in our life it's like we know God is speaking, and it's like, oh, I am not getting it. How many times do we read our Bibles and it's like, I don't get it. I don't know what you're saying, God. Be honest. Lord, I don't know what you're saying. Because you see what he does for the disciples? Read on there. Verse 19, now Jesus knew that they desired to ask him. And he said to them, are you inquiring among yourselves what I said? And so, get that. Would you get that? When you don't understand what God is trying to say to you, whether you're reading in the Bible or whether you're in prayer and you just sense, you know, God's saying something here and I'm just not catching it, understand that he knows that. And he wants to reveal to you what it is that he's communicating to you. He does not want to leave us in the dark. He doesn't want to leave us not understanding. And so he says, are you inquiring among yourselves about what I said? A little while and you will not see me, and again a little while you will see me. Most assuredly I say to you that you will weep and lament, but the world will rejoice. And you will be sorrowful, but that your sorrow will be turned into what? Joy. Your sorrow will be turned into joy. Now stop there just for a moment. He's talking about his death and his resurrection, and they don't understand it. And he understands that the issue is their love for him, their relationship with him. He knows that while he's gone, they're going to struggle. But he wants to assure them, you know what, it's only going to last a little while. Your sorrow will be turned into joy. Why? Because he'll be back. A woman, when she... Estelle, do you need help, honey? She didn't hear me. You want to just check on her? Just make, if she needs help, just give her a hand. A woman, when she is in labor, verse 21, has sorrow because her hour has come, but as soon as she has given birth to the child, she no longer remembers the anguish for joy that a human being has been born into the world. Therefore, you now have sorrow, but I will see you again, and your heart will rejoice, and your joy no one will take from you. And in that day you will ask me nothing. Most assuredly I say to you, whatever you ask the Father in my name, he will give you. Until now you have asked nothing in my name. Ask and you receive, that your joy may be full. Again, what is this talking about? What is the source of the disciples' joy? It's Jesus. Verse 22 there. Therefore, you now have sorrow, but I will see you again, and your heart will rejoice, and your joy no one will take from you. Now understand this. He's talking to the disciples, knowing that he was going to die, knowing that he was going to be missing for a few days. And so he's encouraging them that your joy, I'm coming back. And you're going to receive joy again. But when it comes to our lives, guess what? That's already taken place. He's already risen. And therefore, his joy should be in us now. And we don't have to worry about not having him in our life, because he's always going to be in our life. And he says there, no one will take your joy from you. Stop letting people steal your joy. Doesn't matter who it is. Wow. Again, I can't explain why my mind goes where it goes, but anybody lose a little joy over the presidential candidates this year? Would you stop that? It's not about them, and I really don't care which one you support, which one you don't support, if you hate them all, if you love them all. It doesn't matter to me. It's not about them. Don't let the world of politics, don't let it steal your joy. You know, early on I was getting into some of these debates because, you know, I got a candidate that I kind of like and I support, and I got opinions and whatnot, and I decided, you know, I was getting into these little arguments about this and that. It's like, you know what? Forget that, all of that. Paul said, I determined to know nothing but Jesus Christ and him crucified. And so when you want to get into a political conversation with me, I'm going to talk about the king. There's one ruler that I want to talk about. Now, I can give you some opinions and some ideas, but I'm not going to sit there all day and try to explain to you why I think this, why I think that. I want to tell you about Jesus, because he's the one I'm relying on to lead this country, not any of the candidates that are on the board. Praise God, because, wow. Do not let the gas price steal your joy. Do not let, and by the way, it's pretty good at the moment. I would suggest buy gas now, because after the election, it'll go back up, trust me. Do not let the economy steal your joy. Do not let what you see on the news steal your joy. It's about Jesus. And you know what? Once you get Jesus in your heart, nobody can take that away. Did you see that? Nobody. I've been hanging around you girls too much. Nobody. Nobody steal your joy. Hallelujah. Can't wait to see Brother Wiggins. I'm going to show. Nobody steal your joy. Never mind. Verse 24, till now you have asked nothing in my name, and you will ask and you will receive, that your joy may be full. Ask and you will receive, that your joy may be full. What do you need from Jesus today? What do you need? Whatsoever you ask. Whatsoever you ask. We know it's his desire for us to be full of joy and for that joy to remain. He doesn't put stuff in our lives to tear us down. He puts stuff in our lives to test us, to try us, to help us, you know, keep our focus on him. Anybody got stuff in your life? Yeah, we all got stuff in our life. Has anybody let that stuff in your life steal your joy? Yeah, we did. Stop that. Amen. For those who didn't hear that, she's talking about, you know, when she's trying to, you know, care for her husband and how difficult that is. And she prays, "Give me strength, Lord." And what's the verse say? "The joy of the Lord is my strength." How can you have any strength in the midst of the worst of things going on in your life? Because I have Jesus. It's about a who, not a what. And that who is Jesus. Let me look again one more time. Wow, I'm way ahead of myself. Have I been forgetting to change this? Whatever. Check your heart to see who or what is the source of your joy. Let me look one more time at the New Testament definition of joy. The joy received from you. Look at that. The joy received from you. What's that mean, from you? Well, that means what other people see. What are you emanating? What are you putting out? What is coming out of you? The last one there, of persons who are one's joy. It's about relationships. It's not about things or stuff. It's about Jesus. It's about the persons and persons. Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. You got the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost in your life? Hallelujah. You should have some joy. But look at that. Let me ask you a question. What is the reaction from other people when you walk in the room? You ever notice when certain people walk in the room, you have this sense of, oh, I'm so glad they're here. It just gives me joy that you showed up. And I get that. I really do. I love seeing you guys come here. Every time, and even when I see you in the street or wherever, it's like, wow, I'm so glad you're here. But are we one of those people that when they walk in the room, it's like, oh, God. Hope he doesn't see me. You know, in this grocery store, it's like, well, let's go down this aisle over here. You go 3 miles away not to run into that person because, yeah, you know what I'm talking about. Are we that person to somebody else? I hope not. Although, you know, I do know I am that person for some people. People I've been witnessing to for years, and they don't want to hear it again. It's like, oh, God, here he comes. He's going to tell me about Jesus, and off they go somewhere else in another direction. They're not full of joy. Do others understand the cause of the joy that you have? You know, if I was to win the lottery today, of course that would bring joy, right? But people would be like, oh, wow, he's got joy in his life because he just won the lottery. It ain't about that. It can never be about that. You can't, you know, what's the Bible say? You can't serve two masters. You can only have one source of joy. It's not about finances. And praise God, it's not about finances, or none of us would have any joy. Right? If it does become about finances, then you're way off track. But people will love to see you walk in the room. Oh, hey, he's got some butts. Who is your joy? Because that will determine whether or not the joy remains in your life and whether or not your joy is full. Who is your joy? Not what is your joy, but who is your joy? Stand with me this morning. Hallelujah. It's been joyful to be in church today. It's joyful to be alive. Because I got Jesus. Hallelujah. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for your word. I thank you for the fruit of the Spirit, joy. I thank you that it's your desire that we have your joy, that it remains in us, and that it's full. And so, God, I pray for everyone here today, each person standing in the sound of my voice, that just whatever's going on in their lives, that they would be able to overlook all of that, turn their eyes and focus on you and get joy. Joy in knowing you. Joy in loving you. Joy in receiving eternal life from you. I pray, God, for such a joyful move in our lives that it would have an effect on the lost, that they would desire to have you as the joy of their lives too. Father, I repent right now, and I trust everyone in this place that if we have put our trust or our joy into the things of the earth or into wrong people or into, you know, something other than you, we repent right now and we turn to you, God. Because we need joy in our lives. This world is a mess, and the things going on around us many times are way out of whack and just way out of just not what it should be. But we need joy even in the midst of all of that. And so, Father, I pray a blessing of joy over this congregation today. That in you and through you, from you and to you, we would have joy. Thank you for the fruit of the Spirit alive in us. Help us to walk in it, O God, each and every day. Because it's a joy to know you. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. Amen. I enjoyed preaching that to you today. I hope you enjoyed hearing it. Love one another. Yes. Oh, anybody wants chicken barbecue tickets or you want to sell chicken barbecue tickets? I don't know if I said that.